It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 106.5. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome, everybody out there in radio land. I am George Williams, your host. Our telephone number here is 251-343-0106. And you can also send us a text at that number where I can read them off if they're appropriate and let our audience know what you're thinking about. All right, folks, we've got so much to talk about. We're going to have a couple of guests tonight, and we're going to be discussing some of the topics that you've been hearing on the news regarding former President Trump, whom I consider still my president, and on some of the other hot topics. So before we do that, and this is our introduction, we're going to have Dick Morris. Every day he does a video, and it's so relevant now, the video, and we want you to hear that, and that's going to be the main topic of our discussion with our first guest. So here we go, folks. Dick Morris.
I can't begin to express my anger and outrage at the FBI raid at Mar-a-Lago. I spoke to President Trump twice last night, and it is so clear that they overreached horribly. And this is a new low in American politics. To raid the home of a former president, particularly when there's no glaring evidence of any malfeasance or any crime, is absolutely beyond the pale. This was authorized by a magistrate, not by a Supreme Court judge in the U.S. or district court or circuit court or even a federal judge or even a state Supreme Court judge. It was authorized by a local magistrate like they were enforcing a tow-away resulting from parking tickets. If this is some kind of fishing expedition to come up with information for the stupid January 6th committee, it's outrageous. But it might not even be that. It might just be, let's see if there are any documents there. Or the archives being bureaucratic about it and saying these belong to us, we want them back. This is so beyond comprehension that it is incredible. I'll tell you personally, I didn't buy that we were headed toward a police state. When they busted Bannon, when they busted Navarro, when they busted Stone. But this absolutely is police state banana republic tactics. In the banana republics of South America, when a guy loses an election or finishes his presidency and doesn't win re-election, he's almost routinely arrested, indicted, and then tried for some crime, sometimes real, sometimes imagined. But this goes beyond the pale. I spoke to President Trump twice last night, and he couldn't believe it. He said he's getting phone calls from Democrats all over the country who are outraged about that, as well as, of course, Republicans. And add my phone call to the list. This is just beyond anything we should have in a democracy.
All right, folks, that was Dick Morris. And being a retired federal law enforcement official, I can tell you that I do not agree with what happened last night. All I had to do was issue a subpoena and say from the court, not a magistrate. If you know what a magistrate is, it's someone who's appointed to that position, you know, a magistrate judge. You know, they hear minor federal cases. But, you know, the thing about it is, we need to get a hold of the subpoena, and we need to and figure out what was on it, what was the write up, what was the justification. Okay, because I can tell you, I've written many justifications for a subpoena, And I've been on numerous raids during my law enforcement career, both local and federal. Okay. And it's hard to get a judge to go against a request for a warrant or a subpoena, okay, to a search warrant. It's easy to get it because the judge doesn't want to appear that they are against the police and who are asking for that the permission, okay, based on probable cause. So it's very easy to get a search warrant. It's not difficult, not difficult at all. Justifications is why do they want it? Why did they want it? Why did they want to do a tactical raid on the house of the former president? And I say tactical, it's unannounced, okay? But you have to realize there's got to be some kind of coordination because he's got police officers and Secret Service agents guarding his house, even though he's in New York. There's still a detail at his house. Now, I've played golf there. I've gone to a couple of meetings at the center where they have their meetings. And there's a wall all around, folks, okay? There's a gate that you have to do, even to go through, even the residents, all right? And they go through the gate, but then it divides. You have the golf course here. You have the residential area here. So it's well protected. Why do they need that many agents to do that? Why? I mean, it's so unbelievable, okay? Then President Trump said they even went into the safe, all right? If the safe is secure and they got a warrant for the house, why did they have to get another warrant for the safe, a separate warrant to go in there? So he said they broke into there, the safe, and they took, there was nothing in the safe, according to Donald Trump Jr. So the question is why? And this is my belief, folks. The order had to come. Okay, from the top. There's nobody going to raid a former president's residence without authority from the top. I believe that. I really do. And when I say the top, I mean the top. Okay? Now, we know that they're going to not admit to the fact that they were aware of it. Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, whatever his name is. Oh, we don't know anything about it. We don't know anything about it. Well, I beg to differ with you, okay? The White House? Well, no. Nobody in the White House knew anything about it. That was a statement with the White House press secretary. Nobody. But let me tell you, folks, somebody knew. Somebody. And the Attorney General? FBI had to get approval from him. He had to get approval from those who are who are on top. Okay? He had to get approval. And who is his boss? The Attorney General. The President. The Vice President. They are his boss. And who is the boss of the FBI? The Attorney General. The FBI comes under the U.S. Department of Justice. Who controls the Department of Justice? The United States Attorney. The Attorney General. Mr. Garland. Okay? Who controls Mr. Garland? The White House. That's it. You look at Clinton, what she did. You look at Eric Holder, what he did. You look at Biden's son, Hunter Biden, what he did? Are you kidding me? You look at President Obama. They said he took 30-some boxes of documents and kept them in Chicago in a vacant storefront. Okay? Did anything happen to those folks? No, it did not. So why? Why do a tactical raid on the home of the former president of the United States? Now, we're going to go into our first break, and we're going to have our guest, and we're going to be talking to him about it, okay? And then we're going to tell you why we think this is happening. We'll be right back.
Do you? Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
All right, folks, until our guest calls in, we do have a question from Jerry in Fort Morgan. And Jerry, his question is, did you ever think that you would ever see the FBI scooped so low? No, I didn't. Let me tell you, and I know quite a few FBI agents and retired FBI agents, and they don't like what's going on. You look at the Russia Gate and how the FBI acted. That was the upper echelon of the FBI. So, no, I don't. And he has another question. Do we need 80,000 new IRS agents? No, let me tell you. I remember when I was a DEA agent, we had about 3,500, and that was a lot. And the FBI had about 6,000, 7,000 agents. Now, where the hell are you going to put 80,000 new agents? And why do you need them, folks? Why do you need them? We're going to be asking that question with our first guest. Are you there, sir?
Hey, George.
How you doing?
Sorry, I'm running a little bit late.
No problem. So, folks, this is Dr. Lou Campomanosa. He is a retired Marine Corps major. Everybody knows him. He's also an adjunct professor. And Dr. Lou, we'd like to have you on.
Well, George, it's always a pleasure to be on with you. And I love either, you know, talking to you on your show or sitting in for you. It's great either way.
Right. Doc, and we appreciate you coming on. And we appreciate you taking over the show every now and then. It's a relief for me. So I appreciate it. I appreciate
it. Tell him thank you.
And Philip said thank you also.
So tell Philip hi for me.
All right, Philip, you said hi.
Hey.
Doc, let me ask you a question before we get into some of the stuff you want to talk about. What do you think about this fiasco last night in Mar-a-Lago?
Well, I think that it falls into two categories of thought here. First part of it is that the FBI and the DOJ have been politicized, and it didn't start yesterday. We can argue about when it really got going, but I do think that, you know, clearly Trump's election pushed people like, you know, Comey, Strzok, all of these people over the edge. They just could not stand him. They weren't going to go along with him as president. They didn't think that he should have been president. And this is where, you know, we get into some real trouble when you've got people at that level of authority in essentially a police role making decisions that are going to subvert the will of the people. So I mean, that's one aspect of this. The other aspect of it, I think, has to do with electoral politics. The Democrats are afraid of losing the House and the Senate. They are afraid of dealing with Trump in 2024. They've tried to get rid of him through two impeachments. And, well, obviously, even before the impeachment, they tried to get rid of him through and politically damage him through the whole Russia hoax business, okay, the collusion. So in the sense, then, both of these aspects come together, though. Mm-hmm. They come together in the sense that here you have a Democrat president who is the most unpopular president, according to the polls, that we've seen. He has major problems, whether it's inflation, whether it's foreign policy, whether it's whatever, okay? He is having problems. The Democrats know this. The good thing about the Democrats, as always, they stick together and they try to do what's necessary to keep them in power. And what they needed was something along the lines of this last bill, the Inflation Act. So what you're seeing play out, I think, is an attempt by the Democrats to not only try to hold on to their power in November by passing a bill that, for all practical purposes, is just going to make things worse. It's not going to change the inflation prospect simply because Biden is not going to do the best thing that he could do, which is to unleash the energy sector like Trump did and create a situation where there's enough energy production so that, you know, it doesn't cost as much to drive the car. But more importantly, it doesn't cost the truckers, you know, so much money to fill up their tanks to get the stuff that they're bringing to the market, you know, in a less costly fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a perfect storm for the Democrats. You know, high inflation, unpopular president, other problems, I think, though, crime and all the rest of that. So what I think they felt like they have to do is to take advantage of what they can do, which is to pass this stupid bill, and that gives, you know, the media that is bought and paid for by the Democrats, you know, CNN, MSNBC, all of them. That gives them the good talking point that they can sell to the American people who watch that crap, okay? I mean, their audience numbers are low. I get that. But it spreads out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they want. They need the positive, you know, benefit of having a couple of wins in Congress, doing something good like killing Lahiri. So now they can trump all this stuff and say, oh, how wonderful Biden is. He's had a good week now. I mean, that's all you hear from them. So, George, what it ends up becoming now is, you know, a way for the Democrats to try to prevent, you know, Trump from continuing to do all these massive rallies.
Right.
Excuse me. I mean, look at how popular he is when he goes to these rallies. I mean, it is an existential threat to the Democrats to have Trump being able to go out and say what he says amongst all of these people and spreading this word, this MAGA word. And I think that in their thinking, the only way that they can stop a disaster in November is to get Trump off the trail, get him shut down. Mm-hmm. And one way to do that is to put the kinds of pressure on him that we're seeing, where he's having to defend himself in court. And I think that's another part of this. There was another appeals court that approved that the Senate committee, I mean the House committee, can go after his tax records. I mean, all of this stuff is designed to just hamstring him so that he can't continue to beat that drum, that MAGA drum that is so popular. And again, you know, the best way to shut him down is do what they're trying to do right now with the intimidation associated with, you know, 100 FBI agents swarming into the Mar-a-Lago estate. So I think that's you know, how I see what's going on with this. But there is a bigger picture problem here, and that's the whole idea that you have a political party that's willing to weaponize the Department of Justice.
Mm-hmm.
And not just over Trump. I mean, just remember, you know, earlier, you know, last year, you saw them attempt to use the power of the police by calling the parents who wanted, you know, their state and their kids' education as domestic terrorists.
Right.
They had the audacity to go to a school board meeting and call these freaks out and call them what they are, a bunch of socialist radicals.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care anything about the kids. They all care about the ideology and making sure that Obama's fundamental change, that's all this is about. And I think that that's where the rub is coming in, because people are sick of it, and Donald Trump is essentially their boy. So they have got to stop it.
Right.
So I think where you're going with this, George, is if they can't do it legally, you know, with quasi-legal approaches, mm-hmm. the raid on Mar-a-Lago, the tax businesses trying to tie them up and all that stuff, the impeachment thing, you know, what's next? If they are not successful doing what they've been doing, then you don't think for a second, you know, that they would try to assassinate him. I don't doubt that for one second.
Yeah. I can't disagree with you. And, you know, they are going, this is not the end then. This is just the beginning, because as the closer we get to the November election, the more radical they're going to become. But I think it's going to backfire, Dr. Lou.
Well, I think you're right about that, because people are just, you know, mad as hell, and we're not going to take it anymore. That's the whole approach that I think you're going to see. I just hope that the Republican establishment will do more than just, you know, like I heard McConnell, he was supposed to be talking about something about Kentucky. Someone asked him a question about, you know, what was going on in Mar-a-Lago. And he just basically said, I'm here to answer questions about the flooding and everything. Well, I mean, I understand that.
Right.
But on the other hand, I mean, if you agree with me that what happened rises to a significant place in American history,
right.
Then...
Doc, we got to cut you off. Doc. We got to cut you off. We're going into our break.
Okay, George.
All right.
George, I'm going to have to go. But you
all right.
Care. I'm glad to be on.
Thank you, Doc. Dr. Lou, a couple of notes, folks. Thank you, Doc.
Bye. Take care,
George. All right. Bye-bye.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back. Welcome back, folks. We appreciate Dr. Lou coming on and giving us his thought on this very critical and unbelievable situation with what is happening to President Trump. It's totally unbelievable. And Dr. Lou hit on a couple of things, okay? And that is the reason why this is happening, the reason why. So I'm going to give you my opinion, and we're waiting for our second guest to contact us, and we're going to be talking to him also. But to me, it's all about November, okay? And about 2023. These folks in Washington do not, in my opinion now, don't want to see President Trump in the race again. Folks, President Trump was at CPAC in Dallas last week. He was the only there were a couple of speakers, but none of the former people like Pence and those folks, okay? They didn't show up. They didn't show up because they know the situation. They know how powerful this man is. And you look at his rallies, you know, 40, 50,000 folks. You look at Biden, maybe you see 50, okay, when he goes out to these cities. Look at Harris, maybe you see her age, you know, 5 or 10. But when you look at President Trump, you see thousands and thousands. He is more popular now than before the election, 2020 election, folks. They see this. They see it. When I say they, the Democrats, they see it. Okay. They have nobody that they can put up to run against President Trump in 2024. You hear him talk, and they just give you names. I mean, look at this person, AOC. They're even talking about her running for president, okay? They're talking about the lady who is going to get defeated, I think it's next week, in Wyoming, Liz Cheney. They know she's going to lose her reelection for Congress. But now they're even talking about her for 2024 as a presidential candidate. Okay? They're talking about Buttigieg. They're talking about Hillary Clinton coming back. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Okay? They have nobody, nobody who they can put up against to run against President Trump. And believe me, folks, he's going to run. Okay, they're not going to win this. And I have said this on this station, on this show, many times. Since Biden took over, Biden and Harris, they have done a lot of recruiting for the Republican Party. This is a recruitment for the Republican Party. Not only that, okay, but you hear President Trump made a statement, and he said he's been called by numerous Democrats who expressed to him how outrageous this situation is. Okay? I was just looking at Fox News, and they had a former Democrat congresswoman, and she was talking about how ludicrous and how embarrassing this is. All right. So they are igniting the population, not just Republicans or independents, but Democrats who feel that this is something that's so outlandish. And it's like the toothpick that broke the elephant's back. That's my makeup. I said that. You know, people say the straw that broke the camel's back. Well, I say the toothpick that broke the elephant's back, okay? And that tried to break the elephant's back, all right? And that's the Republican Party. You're not going to do it, Democrats. You're not going to do it, Biden. You, from the White House on down, you knew, in my opinion, you knew about this. You knew it. The boss of the Attorney General is the president. The boss of the director of the FBI is the Attorney General. Okay? Somebody in that White House, they knew it. He had to get approval. The FBI had to get approval to do this to such a high-ranking individual, especially a former president of the United States. They had to get permission. They had to, folks. It's all over. If you look at Newsmax, Fox, even some of the liberal stations, I've heard a few people talk about it. That it was unnecessary. Yeah, a tactical raid on the home or the residence of the former president. You know what tactical means? They're coming in with guns, folks. They're coming in with guns. That's what tactical means. I've been on many tactical. And in the drug arena raiding the place where they have numerous weapons, you do a tactical raid. First of all, you don't want them to destroy the evidence. You don't want that to be destroyed. So you do a tactical. You do a no-knock, you know. You do a tactical because you don't want the evidence to be destroyed. But the president wasn't even there. He was in New York. So why do you have to do a tactical assault raid on the home of the former president? Unnecessary. And to have so many agents. What did they think? There was going to be a gunfight between the FBI and the Secret Service? I mean, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And they are Secret Service agents protecting that resident. They're local police out there augmenting the Secret Service. They're protecting that resident. Okay? So somebody had to know something. Someone had to know something. This is a big operation. You're talking about hidden sprawling residents like the president of the United States, former president of the United States. It's a big area. I've been there. I played golf there. Last week I rode by there. Okay. I've attended meetings at the convention area there, you know, where they have all their political meetings. I've been there. Beautiful chandeliers, outstanding food. So there had to be some kind of cooperation, some sort. Okay, you have to let the director of the Secret Service know. Those are his men. You have to let him know that we have FBI agents coming to do a tactical raid. The Secret Service is responsible for the security of the president, the vice president, and their immediate family. You have to. So, folks, I want to know what was in that application for that warrant. Okay? And I would like to know who wrote it. Who wrote it? What was in the application? What was the justification? Now, we've heard that the magistrate was contributed to the several Democrats. And I believe the magistrate is appointed by a federal judge to handle those cases. I've gone before a magistrate on a federal warrant. Okay? And that's their job. So it's easy to get a warrant, approval for a warrant. Very easy, especially, you know, if you got some kind of justification that they have some type of contraband in there. And in this case, they're saying it's documents that he didn't turn over to the National Archives. But look, I heard today that President Obama took 37 boxes out when he left, and he kept them in Chicago in a vacant store. Huh? All presidents take, you know, they get gifts, they get this, they get that, and they want those for their library because they build a library. So they want those so that people come in and they can see them. They're not going in to destroy them. And folks, this is what gets me. On the news, they were saying that President Trump, in his bathroom, toilet bowl, tore up documents that wouldn't flush down, okay? And they had a picture of some paper in a toilet bowl. Folks, let me tell you something. When you destroy documents, you don't rip them up and put them in a toilet bowl.
And forget to flush.
You know, right. You don't do that, folks, okay? You got a shredder. And there used to be shredders where they just shred down the line and they were strips about a quarter of an inch. Now, we had an agent in New York that would take those strips and he would paste them up on a board. So he'd get them in order so you could read what they were. All right? Now, as a result, when I was in embassy, in the embassy in Africa and in the embassy in Brazil, in our offices, we had shredders and we had to shred documents, but they were cross shredders where they would shred the long way and across, okay? Up and down and across. So it was impossible to read what those documents said, okay? Now, don't you think the president has that? Huh? Don't you think every federal agency have that, folks? They do. We'll be right back after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
All right, folks, let's continue with what these idiots are doing in Washington. Now, Jerry sent us another text. He said, hey, they give them thermo grenades to burn an embassy up on evacuation and tell me. Grant, okay? I lived in an embassy environment for at least 14 years overseas. And, they do burn documents. And the Marines go around to inspect everybody's desk to make sure you don't leave documents when you go home. Okay? And if they could do, then your headquarters know about it. And they can discipline you or whatever, okay? I've been caught at least a couple times by leaving classified documents and not putting them in the safe. They don't want anything on your desk when you leave to go home in the evening from the embassy, okay? Anything. But every agency, folks, I can guarantee you that, have these cross shredders. Okay? And once those documents are shred, there's no way you're going to read them. No way. No way you're going to be able to read them. Like in the old days, during the 70s, when they didn't have cross shredders and they had straight shredders, you can put those in line and you can figure out what was on that document. Not anymore, folks. Not anymore. Okay? And for a person to rip up documents and put them in the toilet bowl and don't flush it, are you kidding me? The Democrats, folks, are the, in my opinion, the lionest folks you've ever wanted to meet. They will tell a lie, and you can see it. Even the media folks, the liberal media. Can you believe them? You can't believe what they're saying. I listen to them sometimes. I can't stand them for no more than a few minutes. And I hear what they're saying. I said, that's not true. That's not true. So you can't believe them. Then you look at what they were saying about voter suppression. Who's being suppressed? Who can't vote? The only people who can't vote are those who are non-U.S. citizens. Because our Constitution says in order to vote in any election, you must be a U.S. citizen. The Democrats don't want that. Okay? And I think in New York, they're trying to arrange where 80,000 people or more can vote who are not U.S. citizens. And there was some talk about that a few months ago. Okay? You can't do it, folks. You can't do it. You cannot change the election laws unless they're changed by the state legislatures, okay? The governor can't change it. The lieutenant governor can't change it. The secretary of state can't change them. it must be done by the state legislatures. And that's what happens when things are kind of foggy. And they used it. They used it for the COVID, okay? Now, what are they going to do in November? Use it for monkeypox? I don't think so, folks. However, in Pennsylvania, a district judge there, state judge, said that no more ballot boxes, unsolicited. And the Pennsylvania Supreme Court just overruled him. So they're going to have to go to the district court. And for you who don't know, you have your state circuit, then you have your state appeals, and you have your state Supreme Court. Well, any district federal judge can overrule any one of those judges. Okay? That's the district federal judge. And then the ones who can overrule the district federal judge are the federal appeals court judges. And the ones who can overrule the federal appeals court judges is the Supreme Court judge. That's it. Nobody else can overrule them. Only the state the Congress can do that, overrule the Supreme Court. Okay? Federal legislators. So, it is something. But you know what? This is good in a way because we're trying to show you Democrats out there, your independents out there, you rhinos out there, that these Democrats who are in Washington is not doing the country any good. They're hurting the country. They're hurting the country. Look at the situation in this country with the prices. We're almost in inflation. We're almost going into inflation. They're going to be raising the interest rate. The border is open, wide open. Our ally countries don't respect us anymore. We have gone to hell, folks. Okay? So in November, the only way we're going to resolve this in November, get them all out of office. Okay? Get them all out of office. Vote them out, folks. This is the only way we're going to do it. And we have to do that. And then once we get in the office, we have to put them on trial. We have to put them on trial, okay, for what they're doing now, because this is totally illegal. This is totally illegal. So in New Jersey, where I grew up, I was born in Mobile, and there used to be a saying, revenge is something else, okay? We have to do it. We have to get guts. We have to put up barriers against a Democrat. We can't shy away from it. This is what we're going to have to do. So the only way we're going to do it, okay, because we don't get any justice from the courts. Now I think we will from the Supreme Court, because you see what they've done to our Supreme Court justices. Totally unbelievable. Unbelievable. So hopefully on the 3rd of October, the Supreme Court will have a hearing regarding what powers the state legislatures have over the state officials. Okay? They're going to have that hearing, I think, October 3rd or 4th. And that decision, when it comes out, which I hope is positive, then we will forget about governors, lieutenant governors, secretaries of state changing election laws, because the Constitution says only state legislatures. Only state legislatures. So, folks, we've got a long battle and a long fight. And we're gonna continue with this next week. We're going to have some legal experts to come in okay, and talk about this. But it ain't over until it's over, folks. Like Yogi Berra used to say, the famous Yankee catcher, it ain't over. And he said something else, but I can't think of what he said. But it ain't over yet, folks, okay? Democrats just got us started, and we are not backing down. So until then, folks, next week, we'll see you again. Vicon Dales, everybody.